Friends, at this time of sermon, we're going to do something that we did a number of years ago in a slightly different way. Throughout our book of Scripture, the hands of men and women that we meet are used in virtually every way possible to communicate the human condition in light of the mystery that is our God. Hands are used to shield eyes from the holy. They are opened in supplication and appeals to the same. They fight and they tear and they slap, even as these hands calm and mend and smooth. They bring condemnation and they bring mercy. The hands of Jesus are for us especially mystifying. For perhaps 20 years he worked as a small town carpenter in that shop, and his rough, calloused hands were surely driven by excellence and patience, even as they anticipated and expected results and successful product. And then he began to teach. I imagine perhaps a bit like many of us, he couldn't have taught with his hands tied behind his back, needed them to express his love and his concern for all. His hands healed and shepherded, but they also overturned and rebuked. Those hands blessed children and denounced hypocrites. They opened eyes and they sheathed swords. And they were, of course, nailed to a tree. And so this morning, we wonder about our own hands. Where have they been and where must they go? We're going to consider that question a bit more deeply and more experientially this morning. The following reflection is not my own. That is, I didn't write it. I found a 3-page, double-spaced, guided meditation in my sermon files a number of years ago when I joined this congregation in ministry. I really don't remember where it came from, but I trust that the thoughts that follow and the memories and the direction they create and lead us in are available to us all. So let us proceed. I'm going to stay in the pulpit for your own comfort and for mine, perhaps, but I want you to sit erect with your feet flat on the ground. Close your eyes. Close your eyes, rest your hands in your lap, palms up. Tune into your breathing, relax any of those tension points in your body. Become aware of the air at your fingertips, the air between your fingers, on the palm of your hand. Experience the fullness and the strength and the maturity of those hands, young and old. Now think in your mind's eye of the most unforgettable hands you have known. The hands of your mother, your father, your grandmother or grandparents, an aunt or an uncle, the hands of a dear friend. Remember now the oldest hands that have rested in your hands. Think of the hands of a newborn child, perhaps your own child, or a nephew, or a niece, or a neighbor, of the incredible beauty and perfection and delicacy in the hand of a child. Once upon a time, your hands were the same size. Now think of all that your hands have done since then. Almost all of you have, all that you have learned has been through your hands, turning yourself over, crawling and creeping forward, walking and balancing yourself, learning to hold something for the first time, feeding yourself, washing and bathing, dressing yourself. At one time, your greatest accomplishment was tying your own shoes. Think of all of the learning your hands have done, the things they have learned. Do you remember the day you could write your own name for the first time? Think of the things that your hands have made, Valentine's cards for friends, an end table for your parents in woodworking class, a painting or a piece of art, a poem, a house perhaps that became a home. Think of the activities that your hands have mastered, instruments, machinery, typewriters, computer keyboards, remote controls, iPhones and iPads, text messaging. Touch your fingertips to your thumb. One by one, experience the fullness and the strength and the maturity of your hands. Our hands, of course, are not just for ourselves, but for others as well. How often they have given help to another. Remember now all the kinds of work they have done, the tiredness and the aching they have known, or that they now know, the cold and the heat, the soreness and the bruises. Remember the tears that they have wiped away, your own or another's. How much hurt, anger, even violence they have expressed, and how much gentleness and tenderness and love they have given. How often for us have those hands been folded in prayer? A sign of both their powerlessness and their power. Your elders, your father and your mother, your grandparents, perhaps a great aunt guided you in the great symbolic language of hands reaching out to be led or to lead. The handshake, clapping or clasping, the wave of the hand, hello or goodbye. There is a mystery which we discover in the hands of a woman or the hand of a man that we love. There are the hands of doctors and nurses, artists and conductors, or a minister perhaps, which you can never forget. Again, touch your fingertips to your thumb and once again experience the fullness and the strength and the maturity of your hands. Now, slowly raise your right hand and gently place it over your heart. This is the part where I see who's fallen asleep. Slowly raise your right hand and gently place it over your heart. Press more firmly until your hand picks up the beat of your heart, the most mysterious of all human sounds, your own heartbeat, a rhythm learned in the womb from the heartbeat of your mother. Press more firmly for a moment, and then release your hand and hold it just a fraction from your clothing. Experience the warmth between your hand and your heart. Now carefully lower your hand to your lap, very carefully, as if it were carrying your heart, for indeed it does. When you extend your hand to another, it is not just bone and skin, it is your heart you are offering. A handshake is the real heart transplant. Think of all the hands that have left their imprint on you. Fingerprints and handprints are heart prints that can never be erased. The hand has its own memory. Think of all the places that carry your handprints, all the people that bear your heart prints. They are indelible and will last forever. Now, friends, finally, without opening your eyes, extend your hands on either side and find another hand. This is the hardest part of all, the human touch. Find the hand of the person next to you, both sides, if you're able and if you're willing. Do not simply hold that hand, but convey a message, friendship, and love, concern. Let your hand speak. Let it listen to the other. Express your gratitude for this hand outstretched to you in the darkness. And as you let go and bring your hand back to your lap, experience the presence of that hand lingering in your own. The afterglow will fade, but the print is now there forever. Whose hand was that? Perhaps you know them well, but it could have been any hand. It could even have been the hand of our Lord. In fact, it was. For Jesus has no other hands in this world than ours. One last time, touch your fingertips to your thumb. And one last time this morning, experience the fullness and the strength and the maturity of your hands. What have they done? And what must they do in the months ahead? The psalmist writes, "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen evil. Let the work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands." Oh, prosper the work of our hands. Pray with me. Oh, Lord our God, we thank you for the special gifts you have given us and for our hands. Hands that may be held and cared for, and that may reach out and hold and care for others. Be with us throughout this day as we remember our call to be Christ's hands in the world, and remain with us our whole lives as we journey toward wholeness. Fill us with your Spirit that we may own our beauty and our own responsibility and express them both in our daily lives. Fill us with a deep understanding of the care you have entrusted to us and the loving care you have for each one of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.